This is Olivia Reingold with Yellowstone Public Radio. This weekend, the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians celebrated something generations have fought for and that 400 other U.S. tribes are without: federal recognition. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people are crammed into a narrow hallway waiting to be seated for a celebratory dinner at a Great Falls Convention Center. People are embracing, talking to their neighbors in line.
I see you have a Métis sash on.
Little girls in powwow dresses are stomping on the carpet floor, warming up for the dance later that night. No. Caterers with stacks of dishes in their hands are trying to clear a path through the crowd.
Excuse me, everybody, I gotta come through.
Inside, Little Shell Tribal Chairman Gerald Gray stands at a podium in the center of a crowded room.
So I'd like to welcome everybody today to this historic event.
Men take their cowboy hats off and place them over their hearts. Babies bounce on their mother's laps. None of them are crying. Every other person holds up their smartphone to videotape his speech.
Tonight, we commemorate an effort that no tribe should ever have to go through.
The Little Shell first pushed for federal recognition during treaty talks over 100 years ago. Without it, the tribe wasn't recognized as a sovereign nation or eligible for federal dollars. Now the tribe is guaranteed a land base within these Montana counties: Blaine, Cascade, Glacier, and Hill, and federal resources from agencies like the Bureaus of Indian Affairs and Indian Education. That's after the tribe gained federal recognition through the National Defense Bill last month.
We also now have to think of our future generations and build a strong nation for them, a nation that provides jobs, education, elder, veteran services, a nation that is healthy and economically self-sufficient.
Gray says the Indian Health Service has agreed to provide health care for tribal members at existing facilities once the tribe provides its enrollment files.
It's number one, that we need to provide access to health care for our members.
He says it's his priority for the tribe's 5,500 members.
Hi, I'm wondering if I could speak with you.
Josh Claus is an attorney for the tribe and says he'll work with Gray to help get the tribe federal benefits over the coming months. He's represented tribal nations for over a decade, but says this is the only time he's worked with a tribe that's become federally recognized.
It's incredibly rare. Two Congresses ago, six tribes in Virginia received federal recognition through an act of Congress. But prior to that, it had been 2001.
Claus says when he first started lobbying for Little Shell federal recognition, his peers on Capitol Hill thought it was a lost cause. Downstairs, fiddle music is bumping. The tribe is known for their jig dancing. Sisters Randy and Julie Painter are sitting down at a dinner table, digesting the speeches they just heard from politicians like Montana Governor Steve Bullock and tribal leaders from around the state. Randy, who flew in from Northern California, says this day is about validation.
This isn't about casinos. Great Falls doesn't need another casino. This isn't about what we're going to get. The entire thing is about identity, and it's so valuable, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Her sister Julie, who flew in from Salt Lake City, chimes in.
Yeah, so I've often thought about this, in my identity, being Native or mixed race background, and not really having that card or the official label to say, oh, this is part of who you are as a person.
She says that's made it hard to feel like she belongs, like she's a true Native American. But not tonight. Randy says she sees family when she looks around. Literally. She says they all look related.
There was a lady that came up to me and said, oh, Lisa. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not Lisa. And she said, oh, you look just like her from the side.
The Little Shell lost their ancestral homelands in North Dakota in 1892, when Chief Little Shell rejected a low offer for his tribe's land. According to documents submitted to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the government removed tribal members from their lands and enrollment lists. Descendants later clustered in communities on the outskirts of Great Falls, Helena, and along the High Line. Family is on the painters' minds tonight. The sisters say the tribe is poised to receive things that would have meant a lot to their deceased family members.
The most powerful thing, and it's somewhat bittersweet, is that the access to health care could have been life-changing for my grandparents, who all suffered from diabetes, and there was some, intergenerational issues that came up from being that Native identity.
The sisters say they had to leave Montana to find things like healthcare, jobs, and college educations. They say if the tribe had been federally recognized, there's a good chance the resources would have allowed them to stay. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold in Great Falls.